to Action Face. I'm your host, Tegan Keating. This week, I talk with Marion McElroy. She is the 20K House Product Manager at the Rural Studio of Auburn University. The Rural Studio is part of the architecture school at Auburn, and they have started this project to build houses that cost $20,000. That's basically it. And the whole impetus for this is that more than a third of people in Hale County, Alabama, which is where Auburn is located, live in trailers. And affordable housing, or just housing in general, is really important to health for a couple different reasons. One, you need to have safe houses that are going to withstand things like tornadoes, snowstorms, rainstorms, all of the elements. Two, you need to have homes that are clean and dry and well-maintained. And three, having a nice home that you can be proud of is really important to quality of life, so there's a psychological component to it as well. So this started off as an academic project that now the Rural Studio is working to get put into reality. So they're working with all different organizations to try to figure out how they can make the plans for these different houses that they have available to people in lots of rural areas. And, you know, Marion and I talk about accessibility and having safe rooms in these houses for inclement weather, things like that. So I'm just going to get right into it. Here she is, Marion McElroy. I'm here with Marion McElroy, the 20K House Manager. She is an alumna of the Rural Studio at Auburn University, and now she works for them doing all kinds of stuff. How are you, Marion?
Good morning. I'm great, Tegan. Thank you.
Good. Thanks for talking with me today.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Good. So can you give us a little background about the project and how it got started and how you got involved with it?
Absolutely. So the Rural Studio itself was founded almost 20 years ago by two Auburn University professors who saw the need to get the students out of the classroom and into a situation where they could have real clients and get some real life experience. And to date, the Rural Studio has done about 150 projects. We've done community projects. We've also done some houses that we call the charity homes. In 2005, the studio decided to look at a different part of the need in the community, and they started the 20K House Project. It was started for three reasons, basically, to address the need for affordable housing in Hale County, to offer an option to someone who might not otherwise qualify for commercial credit, and also as an alternative to the trailer. The trailer is something that you see littered across the landscape in rural communities, not just in Hale County and in Alabama, but all over the U.S. In Alabama, 36% of, in Hale County, actually, 36% of the population live in trailers, and that's pretty significant for a county as small as Hale County is. So the project has started off with $20,000 as the challenge, and this is an academic studio. So we can sort of make the requirements or the parameters for the students anything we want. At the time in 2005, $20,000 was the highest loan that the lowest income bracket person could get. So it's a little different now. It's sort of taken on its own entity. So we sort of continue on with the $20,000 as the goal, even though the loan in real life is a little different, a little higher now. So the students really began to study what they were doing, think about construction process, to think about the time that it would take to cut a piece of material, to think about labor, and think about all of those things wrapped into one, because they each affect the cost. So in 2009, the students decided not to reinvent the wheel. They decided to go back, that studio decided to go back and look at all of the previous 20K houses and look at the things they liked, the things they didn't like, the things that were successful, the things that, that could be improved upon. And they created what is now our first house in the product line, built in 2009. It's called Dave's House. We titled the homes after their owners, which is real unique and interesting. The 2010 studio did the same thing, and they evaluated previous homes, and they designed what is now called MacArthur's House or Mac's House. And then the 2011 studio did the same thing, and we now have Joanne's House. So in about 2.5 years ago, the Rural Studio called me and asked me if I would be interested in working with them on bringing the 20K houses to market. They've been told for a long time that they really had a great product, that they had something that was useful, that was needed, that could change rural communities, change people's lives. And but it's hard. It's hard to say, okay, we're ready to let it go. We're ready to take it to the next level. These are student designed, student built projects. So they're not an architecture firm with billable hours. So we can spend as much time as we want on the most minute details, such as the placement of a refrigerator. And so they made the decision. They were ready to see about taking this to the next level. And that's when they called me. And that's when I was offered the opportunity to work with Rural Studio and the 20K houses and figure out what we do. What do we do with these wonderful tiny houses that we've got that could really help somebody?
It sounds like a really good example of how academia can be actually helpful to people in a really concrete way.
Absolutely. So, absolutely. It's fascinating too.
Yeah. Yeah. What has the process been like so far to bring these houses to market?
It's been incredible. So, I think when I first offered the job, they said, it's a 3-year commitment to start with. And I thought to myself, we're going to be out the door in 6 months. This is a breeze. And then you start thinking about it, and you start realizing that there's so many levels to deal with. Okay, so for instance, one of the first things we've had to do is do a full architectural review of the houses, of the plans. I mean, these were student designed work, and they do a beautiful job. And the Rural Studio is incredibly detailed. They bring in a lot of architecture critics. They work with engineers, structural, mechanical. They work with a lot of people to help them. So it's not, these students are not completely on their own, but they're definitely things that need to be altered. So we teamed up with an architecture firm in Chicago, Landon Bone Baker, and Pete Landon has been an old friend of the Rural Studio, so he's very sensitive to what the Rural Studio is trying to do, sensitive to the 20K house, but he also has experience in affordable housing, which is what we needed. So the first thing we did is we took all these CAD files and sent them to Chicago, and he started going through and looking at them for code, upgrading them to use the 2012 International Residential Code, and also looking at them for in relationship to the guidelines that both FHA and HUD put out, because those are some of the ways that these potential clients can get loans. So we wanted to make sure that we were following the guidelines, so the potential clients wouldn't be hindered by anything in the future. So that's been a really interesting process. One thing that we've learned is that Rural Studio, because our labor is free, because it's student labor, we put more of a priority on the cost and the amount of material that's needed. In a contractor situation, a general contractor puts more emphasis on labor because for him, labor is more costly than actual materials. So we've had to make a few adjustments to the drawings for things like that. We also, the students from MacArthur's House designed it with the roof rafters at 4 feet on center, which looks beautiful because it's very thin. The roof just sort of floats on top, does not feel real heavy, but it's not logical for building construction because there's nothing to stand on when you're up on the roof. If you think about your feet have to be 4 feet apart in order to stand up.
And so
we decided to go ahead and make the change and make the rafters at 2 feet on center just for ease of construction. The other thing that we've made a few adjustments with is Rural Studio really emphasizes passive cooling techniques with these houses. So, for instance, our homes are up on, until recently, we've been diving into the realm of a slab on grade, but the three for the product line, Dave Mack and Joanne's houses, are all on piers, which allows for nice flow, airflow underneath and around the home, the box itself. We use cross ventilation with the placement of the windows and things like that. But the reality is that no one wants to be hot.
And it's hot in Alabama.
So, Mac was given an air conditioning unit, and it wouldn't fit in the window that was provided for him. So he just cut the metal trim away so that he could squeeze this air conditioning unit into the window. And that's not... So that's something we wanted to change. We wanted to make the windows large enough so that if somebody did acquire, a buy, or have an air conditioning unit and felt the need to use it, they wouldn't have to, destroy their window, the window frame in order to get it in. So things like that we've had to change. It's been a really fun process working with Landon Bone Baker. Another thing we have done is we're building model homes right now, which we're really excited about. In fact, a couple of weeks ago, I took the first group through the site where the model homes are under construction right now, but it was really great not having to rely on the hospitality and the kindness of Mac and Dave and Joanne to go see their homes, which we've been doing now for Mac's house since 2009. We've been taking people through his home.
That poor guy. He's had to keep his house spotless.
He's real, real hospitable and loves. I mean, they're very proud of their homes, and they love, they love showing them off. But it's hard to have a conversation about a house. It's hard to have a conversation about what you would improve, what you would change. You would never want to say that one person's house is better than another's, because they're not. They're all equally wonderful in their for their own reasons. They look very different, so they all are suitable for different clients and different people's lifestyles. So we're real excited about the model homes. Two are being built right now, and one will be built in the spring. And we have the opportunity in the space that with the land to potentially build more as we need. So we're real excited about that.
How big are these homes, and how do they compare to the size of trailers?
About the same in as far as square footage wise. So the three homes are all about 520 square feet on the interior. They all have porches, and the porches range from about 125 square feet and a little bit larger. Joanne's is actually the largest. It's a square with an apple bite porch out of one corner. Mac's house is what we call a modified dog trot. So Mac's house has the personal space on one side, his bedroom and bathroom. The kitchen is in the middle, is what you enter into, and the living room dining space is to the other side of the kitchen. And then Dave's house is a shotgun. So it's sort of one, you enter at one end, the short end of a rectangle, and as you go through, and he has a very open loft-like floor plan in the living dining space, and then an enclosed bathroom and kitchen towards the rear of the home. So spatially, they are far superior, of course, to a trailer, because they're larger, their window sizes are larger. We use deep sills and deep frames in the windows, and we paint them in a glossy white, which allows the light to bounce in. Our ceilings, I'm not sure if... not sure how tall the ceilings are in the trailers now. Most of the trailers that you see in rural communities are not new. Most of them are, they're used. And so typically a used trailer has about 8-foot ceilings. Now, I mean, in the new industry models, I'm not sure. I would assume probably the new industry models have made them a little larger just to accommodate sort of the change in trends and things like that in housing. But most of these are used, so they're small. But they do compare as far as size and square footage.
It sounds like a major improvement in the quality of life that you would have. Even though it's a house that's still the same square footage, you have a porch, you have these windows that are designed to let a lot of light in, you have more more space to move around, a little bit more openness.
Absolutely. And another thing is, it's an honest to goodness home that's attached to ground.
Right.
And that is such a meaningful thing for a person and a family, to not have something that's just sitting on, cinder blocks, or have something that is depreciating the minute you buy it. We're talking about a home that goes in the ground, that has roots, that creates a real foundation for a person. And Dave's house was actually appraised, I think it was about a year, within the first year after it was built. So within 2009 or early 2010, and it appraised for almost double its value.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that incredible?
That's great.
It's incredible. So what this, instead of buying a used mobile home for, $12,000 to $15,000, and it's worth, significantly less than that the minute you drive it off your lot, you're talking about a home that is just appreciating and giving you some value, and something to create a great foundation for yourself and for any family that you might have.
And it's good because, I mean, my understanding is that the residents they'll have mortgages and they'll own these homes, and it's not like they're just living in these houses and paying rent. It's a financial investment, and so you get the benefits that come along with that.
Absolutely, absolutely, and it is, and that would be. I mean, I know we've talked to some people about how that would work if it were in a rental situation, and if you found people, a rural housing advocacy groups or something like that that would buy them, build them, and put them into a rental market. But what we look at them as home ownership, absolutely, that we, they are affordable, that someone who, a person with poverty level income who earns, I don't know, about $900 a month, and Social Security, I don't know what it is right now, but I know it used to, a couple of years ago, it was about $750 a month, and you're looking at a mortgage of about $100 a month, and so this is something people can afford, even with, electricity and water, heating, and things like that. So it's definitely, it gives clients a sense of ownership and pride.
Is there any movement towards making slightly bigger homes that would be accommodating to people with a couple kids?
Absolutely. So Joanne's house was built in 2010. Is that right? 2011. In 2012, the studio began working on accessible houses. So Turner's house was built, and it is a fully accessible unit. It's still a one bedroom, but I'm just giving you the information on kind of how the studio is moving forward. It's a one bedroom, one bath, fully accessible with a ramp as the entry. And then it has a safe room. I don't know if you remember, but in April 27th of 2011, the tornadoes came through Alabama.
Right.
And it really devastated. It really devastated that community around Hale County and Tuscaloosa County.
Which is, that's why it's even more important not to have so many people living in trailers.
Exactly, exactly. And so we decided to put safe rooms in our home. And we actually worked closely with Habitat for Humanity in Tuscaloosa. And they also had begun putting safe rooms in their homes. And so when we began our process, the students were able to go to Tuscaloosa, which is about 45 minutes from where the rural studio is based. And they were able to see safe rooms in different stages of construction. And it was a real beneficial kind of relationship that we formed with them to help us do that. So then the next year, last year we worked on Eddie's house. Eddie's house is also fully accessible, but it's the first house we've done that's slab on grade, which is really interesting because it provides a very easy entrance for somebody that has mobility issues. You don't have to pay, you're not worrying about the cost of materials added onto the $20,000 for the ramp, which is incredibly expensive.
And slab means like a cement foundation flat on the ground.
Slab on grade means that the foundation is on level with the ground.
Okay.
So you're not walking up any steps or any sort of ramp. The entrance is level with the earth.
Okay.
So we're very excited about that project. It also had a safe room. And then this year right now, I'm talking about your question was about houses that were larger. So this year we are in the 20th anniversary of the Rural Studio, and we sort of went back to basics, and everyone is focusing on a 20K house. So typical year, it's just one studio out at the Rural Studio that works on a 20K house. And this year we have four thesis and outreach studios working on 20K houses, as well as the third years are doing sort of a compilation 20K. But the thesis and outreach students are working on two-bedroom units this year, which we're really excited about. So by the end of the year, we will have four two-bedroom 20K houses designed and built. So we're really thrilled about that process.
And they'll still be under 20K? Or
probably
they'll still
not.
Be at 20K.
No. Okay, so probably not. Realistically, the 20K house is becoming more of a brand than it is the actual monetary figure. So the one bedroom, one bath houses, Dave, Mac, and Joanne's, absolutely are at $20,000. When you add Turner's and Eddie's, when you get to Turner's and Eddie's houses, and you add safe rooms that have their own construction system. They have their own needs, and they also have to be based off of FEMA's requirements. That has added more money to the cost, as well as the ramp on Turner's house was probably about $3,500. Still within a reasonable budget. I don't have the exact figures for Turner's and Eddie's, but I don't think we're any more than about 25 or 26,000.
So it's still very affordable.
Very affordable. I mean, that is the getting larger does not mean we're doubling the price. I mean, getting, you know, increasing square footage to add a second bedroom or something of that nature for this coming year does not mean that we're going up to $40,000.
Right.
It means that we're spending a lot of time and patience and being thoughtful with the efficiency of the space, with thinking about how to add that second bedroom, with thinking about what happens with when you add more people into a home, what happens when you have children in that home. Does it then require a separate dining space area that could be used for doing homework? It's been a really interesting conversation that the students have had, because we've typically been dealing with one person, and that one person, and how that one person, lives in a space. And now, when you start thinking about a two bedroom, you automatically begin thinking of three to four people, if not a few more. But that's sort of where we started.
So do people have to own the land that the house is built on?
Yes.
So you already have to own something, and then you can have this house built on it for you.
Right.
Okay.
Right. You do. You have to. So the way the Rural Studio works is you have to have, we find our clients through a lot of times just through local people. So the Rural Studio clients, for instance, the The Postmaster is a really good way to find out about people that are in need, clients that have a need, because he or she sees conditions and, you know, would see the condition that somebody is living in when they deliver mail or just driving around on the rural road.
That is so smart. That is so smart. That makes...
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, that makes a ton of sense.
Yeah, you wouldn't think about it, but it is a really, really good way of knowing what's out there in a rural community. So the rural studio requires clear title to the land. So the person has to have clear title to the land in order to have a rural studio build a house for them. Now, with the product line, it could be very different because we are not actually going to be building the houses for the product line. It would be a general contractor that would build the houses for the product line. So, of course, you would have to own the land already, but it works a little differently probably than the rural studio. You might own land with two brothers, and the three of you could each get a 20K house on property. It's a little bit different, but the rural studio does require clear title.
So is there something special about Hale County that this is a big need in it, or, you know, is something going on in Alabama?
For rural studio, it's strictly that's where we're based. One of the founders of the rural studio lived in Mississippi, and he would drive from Mississippi to Auburn University, where he taught architecture. And he was the one that would drive through these small rural towns in West Alabama and saw the poverty, the conditions, the history that this area has in West Alabama, and it's just rich with southern history, and really thought that would be a good place for the rural studio to base itself. It's still in Alabama, meaning it's, you know, local to where Auburn is located, and for a lot of these students who are from Alabama, you know, living in larger cities, they may not ever get the opportunity to see this, you know, what's going on in their backyard. But after 20 years, the 20K house is in Hale County because that's where World Studio is. So now the product line we're hoping can go further. We're really hoping the product line can break outside the bounds, you know, the borders of the state of Alabama. It could even go national. So if someone in, you know, in Missouri wanted to buy one, as long as they took the plans and went to the local building department to make sure that they were up to code and didn't need to make any changes for environment, for heating or cooling or any kind of other requirements like that, that they too could build one, that we can create a base house that with a few alterations could be built anywhere.
Yeah, because I would imagine that Alabama really isn't that unique when it comes to the need for affordable rural housing.
No. Every state has a need for affordable rural housing. Every state has this need. There's just not anything like this out there. There's not anything that's affordable. You know, tiny houses are very in vogue right now. Everybody's sort of interested in tiny houses, but that's not what we're doing. We're not creating these, you know, $100,000 tiny houses that have state-of-the-art you know, kitchens or have state-of-the-art systems that move beds up to ceilings or anything like that to create space. Like, what we're trying to do is create a beautiful space that somebody, you know, can live in and can pay for it and afford it.
So what do you have any plans to move nationally, or are you're working just within Alabama at the moment?
Well, I mean, once the product line sort of gets off the ground, we're hoping that it will go national almost immediately, that we could, you know, we haven't quite figured out exactly how to deliver our deliverables, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's many ways to do it, and we have not exactly figured out the best way for us to do it, whether it means we team up with, partner with some groups that could help us with contractors and get actually building them, building them ourselves is not the right word, but, you know, sort of be a part of the building process? Do we come up with a way to distribute the building plans, the house plans, and leave it up to individuals to figure out how to build them? Meaning, you know, do they use a contractor? Do they build them themselves? Do they have friends? You know, so we're not quite sure exactly where we fall in that range. And I think once we figure out how to deliver our deliverables, then we'll be in a better shape to understand exactly how far that's going to go. But the reach is, you know, the hope and the plan is that it will definitely go further than Alabama.
Have you started working with organizations in other states?
No, not yet. Another thing that to understand is because we're a part of Auburn University, Rural Studio is Auburn University. So these we're also dealing with university intellectual property rights, sort of the legal liability issues with that. That's kind of the place where we are now, understanding what that means, and figuring out sort of how to take care of the legal issues and legal ramifications of construction before we release it.
That makes a lot of sense. I didn't think about the fact that the plans are kind of property of the university.
Absolutely. They are property of the university. And so the university is very supportive. We've got a great support system from the dean of the School of Architecture all the way up to the president of the university are very supportive of what we're doing and excited to help us. It's just kind of a gray zone, figuring out exactly what to do, how to help us, how to protect Rural Studio, how to protect Auburn, how to protect potential clients. So there's just a lot of layers of kind of the legal things we're dealing with right now before we can take it any further.
So I've heard quite a bit about rural communities and from a like very narrow public health perspective of having difficulty accessing healthcare. So I was wondering if you had talked to any people who are kind of on that side of things, because housing really is the most important basic necessity. You have to have a place to live, because if you don't, then everything else becomes a lot less important to you.
Right.
So I didn't know, have you been partnering with or even just talking to, you know, like health departments or anything along those lines?
So we haven't actually been talking to health departments, although that's a really interesting idea. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
I have talked to a lot of rural housing advocacy groups, and that sort of is along the line about what you're saying. So the rural communities in Alabama, and I'm sure this happens everywhere, but I don't know for sure, but the rural communities in Alabama figured out that they are stronger in numbers than they are separately. So there are a lot of action groups that team counties together in order to try to get things done, to get grants, to get loans with housing, to work with any kind of rural development, to work with the legislature to see about, you know, systems that are coming out of the government that can help rural communities. And so we have been talking to these groups, these entities, and they are the ones that have access to a lot of these clients. They're the ones that know these potential groups or people in rural communities that need what we have. So we haven't actually gone to health departments, but we are definitely discussing this with rural housing advocacy groups know the client, they have access and know where to find potential clients, and they also have experience with dealing with loans, you know, development loans, federal housing authority loans, and even private banking loans. So that is a first step. I totally agree with you, and these advocacy groups agree with you as well, that housing is key. Like, it's hard to do much else if you don't have a roof over your head that doesn't leak, and a floor under your feet that is not dirt, and it's sort of the first step in a healthy lifestyle.
Yeah, I think it can probably change somebody's whole perspective on their life to go from, you know, not having a house that they feel good about to having a house that they picked out and that they own and that is exactly what they wanted.
I agree. It's empowering.
Yeah.
It's completely empowering, and I completely agree with that. It is a life-changing moment for a person to be in that situation. And so, I think that we definitely understand that we can't go door to door looking for the Max, the Dave's, and the Joanne's of the world. Like, that's not in our capacity. So what we really want to do is group, talk, partner. I'm using all these loose terms with these advocacy groups that can help identify the need and the place to get started. So that's a real positive way of moving forward.
That is great. I'm really impressed and interested in this project. It seems like something that is not having enough attention paid to it, the lack of affordable rural housing.
It really is it really isn't. There really is a need. It's unbelievable to me that you can have all of these sort of people put in place to help rural development. You've got the lenders, you've got the advocacy groups, you've got the developers, but what they don't have are physical plans for houses that people can afford. That's just what they're missing. Besides a trailer, that's really the only alternative in a rural development. And it's just, that doesn't, a trailer isn't going to help appreciate a neighborhood. It doesn't help, the value of property. And you're right. It really has the potential to completely change rural communities.
And that would be great.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. There's just such a need for it. I get emails every day from people all over the U.S. and actually even outside of this country. I got an email from a gentleman from Australia the other day. Interested in, he said, who can I talk to? I just want to talk to somebody about how we could use this in our country, because there's just a need for this sort of thing. And Rural Studio is really, really fortunate because we can take the time to research. I mentioned earlier, we're not a business with billable hours, and affordable housing is not a lucrative business venture. It's just not. You're not going to make a lot of money off of a $20,000 house. But that's not what we're in it for. We're in it to teach students. We're in it to make a difference. We're in it to challenge the students to be what Sambo Mokbu is, one of the founders of the Rural Studio, to be a citizen architect.
Yeah.
To really care about what they're doing and think about the impact that you and your decision making can have on somebody. And that's real important.
And I think that it's something that is appealing to a lot of people. To want to be able to give back.
Oh, yes. Yeah, absolutely. And you'd be surprised, how many people have access is the wrong word, but, have an interest in rural development. It's not just in the state of Alabama, because there's a need for rural development all over. And I've talked to people from Kentucky to Arkansas to Texas to California, who all find that this is something that's just lacking in the industry.
So, if somebody wanted to learn more about the project or get in touch with you or somebody else who has information about this, how can they do that?
So, I welcome anybody who has an interest. They can email me. And I'm happy to tell you, keep people updated on where we are, to give you any information about the 20K house and the product line. I keep track of all of the inquiries that I've received. I haven't really sent out press releases because there hasn't really been anything to release yet. But I'm definitely keeping up with everybody. There's also a blog that I send out to everyone that emails me. The students keep a blog, and it is a really, really fascinating way of staying current with what the 20K studios are doing, what Rural Studio is doing, but also especially this year because everybody is working on a 20K house. So it's a really fun way of staying current, and I'm happy to give you that that blog so that you can post that too.
Sure. Yeah. Do you know the name off the top of your head?
Yeah. So it's 20khouse.ruralstudioblogs.org.
All right. And then what's your email address?
My email is marian@auburn.edu.
That's very simple.
Easy. And I always answer back, and I love questions. If anybody has any specific questions about the houses, I'm happy to try to answer them. If I can't answer them myself, I'm usually one of the first to point you in the right direction or get the answer from somebody else.
That is great. I'm sure that you will hear from some people because this is a fascinating project.
I hope so. We're really excited about it, and Rural Studio has had a fun time working on it, and we just look forward to seeing kind of where the 20K house goes, and look forward to talking about it with more people.
Yeah, well, thank you for talking about it with me. I appreciate it.
Well, Tegan, thank you so much. I appreciate you having an interest in it.
You are very welcome. Have a good day.
You too. Thank you.
You're welcome. There she is, Marian McElroy. I'm really intrigued by the idea of this being an academic project that's now has the potential to make a huge impact on people's lives. And I love that it is a way of creating home ownership for people who may not otherwise be able to own their homes. And they're modest sized houses. It's not something that, you know, is way too big for one person to live in, or is ostentatious or anything like that. They're you know, they're just houses. They're just regular old sized houses, and you get the plans and you put them on the land that you already own, and there you go. You're a homeowner. So this week's action item is to look into affordable housing in your area. And if you're in the city, then, you know, you probably want to look past whatever housing authority you have in your area, any of the subsidized housing, and really look to see if there's housing available in your area that allows you to own your own home, but doesn't require $200,000 to buy a house. Just see what's out there. And then look into what having stable homes really means to somebody's health. Particularly, you know, we think about this with kids, but adults really need stable housing as well. So, and then if you're in a rural area, see if somebody's contracting with the Rural Studio at Auburn and find out if the 20K house is coming near you, because that'd be super awesome. Just something to think about. So, thank you so much for listening. As usual, you can find me personally on Twitter at Tegan Keating, TEAGANKEATING. Online at TeganK.com. You can find Action Phase on Twitter at ActionPhasePod. And of course, you can always send me an email, ActionPhasePodcast@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. Thanks so much. Have a wonderful rest of your day, and I'll see you back here next week.